Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Stardom Road. I am your host, Scott Edwards, and with me, of course, is my good friend Trent, as we will be talking a new fun little topic here as we kick off the year, our first episode of the year, of course, here in 2023. It's the anniversary conversations. We will be doing this for two shows, so Let's get into it. Trent,
time flies so quickly. It's an anniversary for us, is it?
No, it's an anniversary for Stardom.
It's not our anniversary.
No. I think ours is the 5-star Grand Prix, technically. The final.
Well, the final.
That's pretty cool.
But we're on our second or third year. That's not diamonds yet.
No. But as I said, we're going to go through the anniversary shows, kind of give you guys an overlook of what these shows were about, how they changed through the years, and kind of where they lead us to today, which is a show that's now not even on the anniversary or even close to the anniversary, really, which I think is interesting. That's new, by the way. That is very new. They've gone away from the actual anniversary show.
It's fascinating looking at this compared to our last episode, which was focusing on the year-end climax, because I think, in general, both shows have similar concepts in the fact that when you talk about, especially pre-Bushiroad, what were the big shows that Stardom would put on? And year-end climax was always one. And the anniversary show was always pointed at as one as well. But you look at the structure, and this is why it's kind of interesting to do an episode like this and look at how that's progressed over the years. It's not quite as clear-cut as the year-end climax was, both in how they execute and the kind of shows they were putting on in general. This is a cluster.
It is. It really is. It's kind of a mess. They didn't have an official, like, named anniversary show actually until 2014 for their third anniversary. As me and Trent were going through, they were calling them seasons the first 2 years. I believe it was season 5 in 2012 and then season 10 in 2013. What that means, you can figure out yourself.
It means there was so much TV action seasons happening that it felt like 5 years worth of content, which
the past 2 years feel that way. I was gonna say the past 2 years, but those first couple of years they weren't running nearly enough shows for it to feel that way.
But when the Nanae Takahashi's in control, it feels like an eternity.
Yeah, that's true. So what we're really gonna do is we're gonna start with the third anniversary, kind of give you a quick rundown of the big matches on the card and kind of just give you an idea of what we want to do, because our next episode we're going to give you a more in-depth look at some matches, something we didn't get to fully do for the year-end climax. So when I say matches, I mean our favorite matches from those shows, because this is our show, we get to pick as much as you guys may want otherwise. But let's start here. Of course, as I was saying, it's the third anniversary show. Some of the names you may notice here, like Koguma versus Yuna Manase, that's an interesting one just to kick off the show.
You could see that happening in 2023.
I'm not going to go through full cards each time, but I have to this time. Kairi Oniyama, Kelly Skater, and Yuhi versus Hiroyo Matsumoto, Mayu Iutani, and Manami Toyota. So more Toyota in Stardom. You know, we talked about that last time with the what show was it?
Yoshiko, year-end climax. That's all you need to worry about.
Yeah, thank you for saving me. Yoshiko versus Takumi Iroha. So obviously, kind of a big match there. Those two, as we know now, went on to become key parts of the independent scene in Joshi. Goddess of Stardom. Why does it always say goddesses? I can't stand that. Miho Wakizawa and Nanai Takahashi. I know, shocking. Nanai Takahashi has a title. In 2014, by the way. I meant to add that earlier. The third anniversary, indeed, was in 2014 against Kimura Monster Goon, Alpha Female, and Kyoko Kimura. And then Aki Asakawa versus Kairi Hojo for the Wonder of Stardom Championship.
That's like a classic. You want to pick your who do you envision with the white belt championship. You chuck those two names on that shortlist any day.
Oh, yeah. And then the main event, which I'm sure was an excellent, excellent match, Io Shirai versus Natsuki Tayo for the World of Stardom Championship. The only title change out of those three were the tag titles.
Mm, yeah. It's interesting because you look at that Io Shirai Natsuki Tayo match, like that is early in Io Shirai's career. She's obviously won the World of Stardom Championship, but this is probably her more ambitious kind of flying around, faster paced stuff. And you put her in with a Natsuki Tayo, go 20 minutes. You can very much envision what kind of match this would be without actually even watching it.
Exactly. So rather than, and as we said, we're kind of sprawling through this a little bit because we wanted to break it into two, really, to kick off the year. So we'll move to the fifth anniversary again, Cork and Hall. Fourth anniversary, sorry. I apologize. Fifth anniversary.
In 2015. It's awkward because you're adding
fifth anniversary is like 17 shows, so I apologize. But this was in 2015. Not going through the whole card, but one of the matches was Risa Sera and Takumi Roha versus Koguma and Ryo Hizuki. So big names nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you've got Fukuoka Double Crazy there teaming before they were Fukuoka Double Crazy, which is always very cool to kind of see the genesis of these kinds of teams. And I mean, Risa Sera and Takumi Roha, that's like an all-star kind of combination that you would love to be see teaming in 2023.
Yeah. Risa's just replaced Takumi with Suzuki, which I'm sure no one's complaining about nowadays. At least
not a bad trade. Yeah.
No, not a bad trade. You know, one of them is made of glass and one of them go through glass. So
it's tempting to say there was an upgrade, but like that feels like it's an insult on Takumi Roha, but it's not.
Takumi, when she was 100%, it was different.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, injuries.
I mean, knees. If we're back in 2015, I'll take Takumi Roha over.
Oh, you will? You won't.
12, 11 year old Suzu Suzuki.
Yeah. Though she's still probably a little crazy. High speed title match. Io Shirai defeated Kaori Oniyama with the title on the line. 7 minutes and 11 seconds. Kind of a bit like those high-speed matches that we've seen with Azumi as of late, rather than the long brawl-out main event style ones that Natsuki Tayo does, as well as Azumi nowadays, and kind of what we saw with Starlight Kid as champion.
Yes. That we didn't get to see recently, despite the fact we were meant to.
No. Devastating news here as Mayu Iwatani lost the Wonder of Stardom title to Aki Asakawa. Of course, a year before, Aki Asakawa was already Wonder of Stardom champion. So fun little interesting fact there as she won the title back at the next anniversary show, beating Mayu, ending Mayu's first reign with the title. And the main event, World of Stardom Championship, Yoshiko defeating Nanai Takahashi, successfully defending her title. Nanai, of course, in the main event.
Yes. And that's really like you want to sort of put a cap on two eras of Stardom. That's really when you start getting to the end of the first era of Stardom. Yoshiko comes champion. Obviously, a few months later, everything kind of changes there. And Stardom are kind of forced to adapt and really take on board the freedom. It's interesting to see the progression going through.
Yeah. So as we move on to the next year, the fifth anniversary show had six events, six different shows, including three titled, which is very timely, Stardom versus the World. However, the world was literally the world rather than outside of the Stardom world. So this is a little bit different. So the first show was more of what we were been talking about here. Right, so 2016 kicks off. The show was on the 17th of January. Again, once again, at Cork and Hall. You had Azumi versus Starlight Kid on there. You had current Ice Cross Infinity Champion Sayori Anu wrestling on this show. Chelsea Green, for those who know her. But the big matches were Goddess of Stardom number one contendership match, which was, sorry, I didn't have my results out. You saw the team of Caitlyn, Demon, and Viper winning to by defeating the Hyper Destroyers. Evie, of course, that is Dakota Kai, and Kelly Skater. Viper, by the way, is Piper Niven / whatever she is now.
Dewdrop or whatever.
Dewdrop. Thank you. Yeah. See, I'm happy. I'm happy you knew.
I don't want to be the WWE expert on this podcast, by the way, so I'm going to need you to carry your weight there.
Speaking of WWE, Mayu Iwatani successfully defended the championship against Kay Lee Ray, the current Alba Fire in WWE NXT. So there you go. I got you back there. And in the main event, a truly, truly fantastic match. The World of Stardom Championship was on the line as Io Shirai successfully defended against Kairi Hojo.
Bunch of WWEers.
No, I know. This is filled with WWE.
Yeah.
This must have been the show that Triple H saw. And he was like, I need all of them for my Mayan Classic. And he got a lot of them.
I mean, it's a pretty decent pull. And maybe we should be thankful that J.K. Green was so early in their careers and they didn't start hunting them down too yet.
Yes. Yeah. Sayori Anu, she was still very early in her career too, obviously. I'm sure if it was nowadays, or not nowadays, but if she was what she is now, she probably would have been looked at as well. But the big parts here, that Io Shirai versus Kairi Hojo match, that might be one we go back to and talk about.
Hint, hint.
Yeah, that's that feels like the good one. By the way, it has a 9.40 rating on Cage Match. If you want to know what the people think, I'm not a big Cage Match rating guy. I don't really care, but that felt like a good number to tell.
They serve a purpose. Like, that's the thing, when you're looking at like 11 years, 12 years of Stardom history, and you're going through these shows, it is a nice little shorthand to go, oh, if that's not a match I was already aware of, it's a handy one to look at. Now, obviously, a lot of these shows aren't fully ranked and they are very heavily dependent on their main events, but even if you somehow aren't immediately swayed by the prospect of Io Shirai and Kairi Hojo saying no surname, you're going to be drawn in by that kind of number.
Moving on to the second show of the fifth anniversary series that they had here, the only thing of note here was an Honor of Stardom title match as the Hyper Destroyers, Evie, Hiroyo Matsumoto, and Kelly Skater successfully defended against Caitlyn, Demon, Kyoko Kimura, and Viper. And then the main event was Thunder Rock, Mayu Iwatani, Io Shirai defeating Jungle Kiona and Kairi Hojo. This show was in Osaka, for those wondering, since
which is their home away from home. And you see that a lot with these anniversary shows when they do multiples, because this is the biggest defender in just sheer amount of anniversary shows they're running. But throughout these next few years, they'll do just a Tokyo show, or they'll do Tokyo and Osaka. Sometimes the Osaka one feels like a throwaway event. Other times it does have some decent matches on them. So this is where it's so interesting, because it does feel like they didn't have any real structure on this, despite the anniversary show feeling special for a few years. Like, you run Io Shirai and Kairi Hojo, that's a big deal. You don't just put that on any old show.
Exactly. I think that's perfectly said. If anyone wants to get disgusted, the next show was the third. It was Stardom versus the World number one. And the main match here was World Selection team of Chelsea Green, Evie, again, Dakota Kai, Kelly Skater, Santana Garrett, and Viper, defeating the team of Io Shirai, Jungle Kiona, Kairi Hojo, Mayu Iwatani, and Momo Watanabe in a 10-woman elimination tag. Disgraceful.
Well, you got to give the World a win every now and then.
That's comparing the talent there, that's tough. That's a tough sell for me.
It is, because that is kind of the core five that Stardom were running around this time. Yeah, it was around this sort of period as well that we saw Stardom versus Sendai. They built that story as well, and they had like a 12-woman elimination gauntlet series on one show, and that was pretty much the roster they ran, along with Hiromi Mamura as well, who, sure, let's be honest, was kind of the pin cushion for Chihiro Hashimoto in that match. But it is interesting, like, even though Momo and Jungle are so new in their careers at this point, they're both being positioned as people that they can rely on at this level of the card, which speaks quite highly to them. And I mean, obviously, you look at Momo Watanabe now and where Jungle Kyona was at before she kind of suffered from injuries, and you can see that their impressions on what could be were definitely founded.
This next show, back on track a little bit with title matches here. One singles match worth noting, you had Hiroyo Matsumoto defeating Jungle Kyona. And then in the main event, the Gotham Stardom title match, Thunder Rock, Io Shirai, Mayu Iwatani successfully defended against Ueda Taiz, Caitlin Deaven, and Viper, who, of course, won the number one contendership earlier in the series. So there you go. Look at that.
Continuity.
Stardom vs. the World, number two. This is back to being a pay-per-view-like show. They're back at Korakuen Hall as well. Mayu Iwatani successfully defended her high-speed championship against Evie. That's a very that match, I believe, is on Stardom World, believe it or not. I remember seeing it.
That one had some very iconic gifts that came from it as well. Yeah, the a lot of people know, like, what they know of Dakota Kai before she was Dakota Kai, that massive sort of Uranagi backbreaker she does, and then the running kicks in the corner. That, I mean, Mayu sells, especially that backbreaker, like, it feels like she's broken the back.
Wonder if Stardom title. Santana Garrett successfully defended against Kairi Hojo. And then the World of Stardom Championship, you know, this is during the Io Shirai domination days, of course. So Io Shirai successfully defended against Viper, who was managed by Yakta Yasukawa in that match. So, again, nice little tidbit there. And they close out these shows in Osaka with a two-match show. They had a gauntlet match where Viper defeated Hiromi Mimura, Jungle Kyona, Caitlin Deaven, Kaori Oniyama, and Momo Watanabe. And the Artist of Stardom title match saw brand new champions as the trio of Threedom won the titles, defeating the Hyper Destroyers, Evie, Hiroyo Matsumo, and Kelly Skater. So that seemed like a big point here to close this out, close that.
Well, that is literally when the Threedom assemble Exodia and have every championship in Stardom. Yeah, the iconic images of them with every single championship, it comes from this show.
Mm-hmm. It does. It does. I think a lot of people have that image stuck in their brain. When you think of these three, it's kind of the first thing that pops up in your head. So I think it's interesting to kind of see that and, you know, see where that came from. Of course, back at Korakuen Hall. But we move forward here, 2017, sixth anniversary show, like I said, at Korakuen Hall. Some of the matches are actually reminiscent of what you'd see now. We had wrestlers like Shayna Baszler on this card, so a new outsider that many of you may know. Sarah New was also on the show, but we had a Goddess of Stardom title match as Kairi Hojo and Yoko Beato successfully defended against current WWE wrestlers Kaylee Ray and Nixon Newell. Nixon Newell, of course, Tegan Knox. So, and then,
man, Triple H was busy watching Stardom in these years.
He sure was. And when we say he was, we mean William Regal was. Yes. he brought all these people in for the
Regal was like, you need to point to this person in a
this
photo.
This was the year for the Mae Young Classic, I believe. So this was, it followed right after this. World of Stardom Championship, Io Shirai successfully defending against Viper, which she also did at one of those fifth anniversary shows from the year before. So they continued, I guess. So nothing that jumps off the page there. What is interesting, though, is that when we get to the seventh anniversary show, it goes away from the big structure that was, you know, big World Wonder title match. And it's not a nothing show, though.
No. On paper, you would look at this and go, oh, this doesn't feel like it's worthy of being a year-end not a year-end show, the anniversary show. When you've had, like, World Championship matches and Goddess of Stardom and Wonder of Championship matches, there's not a title outside of the high-speed title. And, look, Mary Apache's reign was, let's be honest, pretty nothing. So that doesn't feel like much here. You take that away, that's the only championship match. doesn't feel exciting, but the main event, I mean, we're definitely touching on the main event in a fortnight's time for the next episode.
This will be what we talk about next time around. But Zaya Brookside is actually on this card, which is funny because she just came back. So yeah,
Club Venus in the house.
I did want to toss that out there. But the match that we are talking about is a match that I think is not only the greatest gauntlet match of all time, is one of my favorite matches of all time. It is Queen's Quest versus Wato Tai. You have just, it's fantastic because the loser between Momo Watanabe and Tam Nakano at the end has to leave their unit. And it's kind of where you set Tam on that journey to really where we see her now. That's the beauty of Tam Nakano, of course. Her journey started all the way back in 2018 at the 7th anniversary show, right?
Yeah.
And this match, again, like I said, it is one of the best gauntlet matches I've ever seen. Cage match has the strongest. It actually says 8-man tag. It's a 10-person tag. So good job on that.
They probably got confused because Chris Wolf lost the vote of like 3 seconds in this match.
Very true. That's very true. So you had Azumi, Hazuki, Io Shirai, Momo Watanabe, and Viper defeating Wato Tai's Hanakamura, Kagetsu, Chris Wolf, Natsu Mire, and of course Tam Nakano. So we'll go into depth on that match next week because it is a very important one. It's a great one, but it's a very important one for the history of Stardom. As I said, with the conversation about Tam Nakano, where she go on to be, of course, they were also in the midst of establishing Momo Watanabe early on that year. And you had Queen's Quest and Wato Tai, of course, going to war there, which, again, very important.
They did a very good job with this show, all things considered, because like their world champion wasn't there. That was Tony Storm. This was sort of in the era where Mayu Iwatani was injured, sort of coming back into the fold around this time. But Tony was the champion. She wasn't available at this point. Io Shirai is your white belt champion. She's involved in this match. Hanakamura and Kagetsu were the tag champion. They were involved in this match. So, it was always going to be very difficult to build a strong card given the circumstances. They went for pure storytelling in a lot of ways with this. And obviously, we're talking about it in Fortnite, but it pays off. Like, this is one of the more memorable anniversary shows because of this match.
Exactly. And I think, you know, as I said, we went away from the big title thing, but truthfully, this is one of the best anniversary matches of all time. So I think in that it's okay. But for those counting, that is two matches we will be going back to for next episode. And now we
spoiler, there's more coming.
Excuse me. Now we continue here. Interesting. A few notes here. You had Hanakamura team with Sadie Gibbs and Bobby Tyler against Wato Tai, Suzuki, Jamie Hayter, and Natsu Sumire. You also had three title matches on the show. So you had the EVE International title and SWA Undisputed Women's World Championship double title match as we watched the big rookie. You may have heard of her. Utami Aishishita continued collecting gold in her, you know, what was a just unbelievable first year. She defeated Viper to get the title. The next two matches, Wonder Stardom title match, Momo Watanabe continued her historic reign as Wonder Stardom Championship. Again, timely, seeing that Saya Kamitani has just tied that historic reign and will be facing Momo to officially try and break that reign. But Momo Watanabe in this match defeated Tam Nakano. Again, playing back to the year before, where it was Momo and Tam at the end of that Queen's Quest Wato Tai match. I love how Stardom's able to connect those dots and really play off. And, you know, we've seen that as recently as now, right, with a lot of things, but it's great how they play that off. And to no one's shock, in the World of Stardom Championship match, we watched Jungle Kiona sadly lose as Kagetsu successfully defended the championship.
In a great match, though. Like, these final three matches are all quite strong on the list.
Yeah, I can guarantee you, because of who I do this show with, we will be watching that main event, and we will be talking about it.
Well, it's tough because, like, if you're picking one match from these anniversary shows, like, within this year, there's actually a really good contender at the Osaka anniversary show, because it's Kagetsu versus Hazuki, which, for my money, is one of the stronger title matches for Kagetsu in this period. Yeah. So, like, in the space of, like, a week, she's put on two absolute bangers.
They're two shows, though, so I think we're allowed to do both.
They're two separate shows, but it falls under the same anniversary period. And it's just an example of where, like, this anniversary show, like, if you were buying tickets for these anniversary shows, you don't know what you're getting, because the Osaka shows in previous years have been mixed bags at best. And then you come to this particular show. You've got Kagetsu defending against Suzuki, and then you've got Queen's Quest, Momo Watanabe and Utami Hayashishita defending against Jungle Kyo and Natsuko Tora, which...
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores led by Walmart and Target are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Okay, you know, that Jan team isn't the strongest team in the world, but during that period, they were one of the heavy-hitting tag teams involved. Mm-hmm. So that's two pretty high-end matches, especially for a show which was only going to be drawing about 500-600 people.
At that time, as someone that has went back and watched this Kagetsu Hizuki match, I thought that was, for a long time, Hizuki's best match. And I think, you know, since I think her match with Arisa Shiki later that year beats it. But I mean, it's two mega title matches that she had and delivered in. One being against, of course, you know, best friend, and then the other being Arisa, who, yeah, they had. They had a good time.
Matches tied into what makes Suzuki great, and that's basically, I want you to hit me as hard as you can because I'm going to return the favor.
Yeah. So that was a double anniversary show, of course, as well, and that's kind of where we kicked this into gear. They did that the next 2-3 years. 10th anniversary is different because they technically did have multiple shows, but we'll get to that. So the 9th anniversary show, we continue on. This is a great show for those wondering. The big matches include Tandakano defeating Kagetsu. I think that's a pretty notable one, seeing Kagetsu, of course, was on his way to retirement.
Yep.
And Tam getting that big win over, you know, someone so crucial in her career. Goddess of Stardom Championship, we had new champions kind of Bea Priestley and Jamie Hayter won the titles. Of course, they beat Jungle Kyo and Konami there.
I'm not liking the trend of these matches where Jungle Kyo is in and losing. I'm just going to say that out loud.
I feel like you're going to be a little used to it.
Normally, it's not tied back to back to back like this.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. That was pretty bad. Of course, this was 2020, everybody, so you kind of know what would follow all of this, which is not...
ideal.
No. In any way, whether it just be COVID or, of course, what would happen to Stardom. You had a DDM, Julia, Micah, and Shuri. Massive trios match there, for those who don't know. Defeating Tokyo Cyber Squad's Death Yamasan, Hana Kimura, and Layla Hirsch.
This was the debut of Shuri and Micah into Stardom. Well, not Shuri's debut in Stardom, but her, like,
yes,
full-time debut in Stardom, along with Micah, the genesis of Donna Del Mondo, which makes this match kind of important just in the lexicon of their history and Stardom's history.
Exactly. I think, you know, I think that's really important that we bring that up, because it changed everything, right? We're sitting here now with DDM. Obviously, you know, the dominance they once were, but they dominated for the next 2 years straight in a way I think we've never really seen before. DDM, my best comparison for DDM is they were Io Shirai. That's what DDM was. Like, people don't understand that Io Shirai never lost, and DDM didn't lose much either in those 2 years. Wonder of Stardom title match, Arisa Shiki successfully defending against Utami Hayashishita, the same Utami Hayashishita, who would later win the 5-star Grand Prix that year and win the World of Stardom Championship. I think for many people, or a decent chunk of people, this was the match that they're like, oh, all right, Utami might be there. And, you know, she's on her way.
Yeah. This is one of the most iconic matches from these anniversary shows, if purely because of the visuals this creates, because this is the... Yeah, you don't see a lot of blood in Stardom, especially, you know, cut across the forehead like that. You'll get the lip sort of busted a bit, but yeah, Utami bled hard way here. Her face met the apron and the apron won. But the visuals this created from this match is obviously out of this world. Fantastic match. Probably if we're going to look back at one match from this show, this would be the one. But yeah, if you're curious about it, that's the match. You've probably seen the pictures.
Yeah. And then, of course, the main event. Big one for me, personally, as it was Mayu Iwatani successfully defending the World of Stardom Championship against Momo Watanabe, one of my favorites, one of their best. They've had a lot. I jokingly say this all the time on my other shows, but like these two just can't have a bad match. They could literally just wrestle each other in their sleep and they'll put on something special. I mean, we watched them wrestle twice in 2022, once in the five-star and once in the IWGP Women's Title Tournament. Both very different matches, but both just showed how great they are, and this was one of their very best.
Absolutely, and this is one of the shows, I say it all the time because we forget, because we've been in, you know, two and a half years now, or 2 years of no cheering, moving on even more. Yeah. These shows were just hot as fire in terms of crowd participation response. Like, if you didn't watch Stardom back then, go back and check these shows out just to hear what could be coming when those restrictions get eased up.
The next show, they headed over to Osaka, of course, as we hinted earlier, for a second show, and this features one of my favorite matches, not only in Stardom's history, but one of my favorite matches of all time in the main event. But there was an SWA Undisputed World Women's Title match, and a big one, as Jamie Hayter, the reigning AEW Women's World Champion, successfully defended Tommy Hayashishida to win the title.
Of course, a missed opportunity, that reign. Not anyone's fault, obviously, but, you know, people very excited for Jamie Hayter around this time. There's a lot of hype around her, and that hype has been found, and now that we've seen what she's done in AEW.
Yeah, so she never got to defend that title, of course, due to COVID-19, but she did pull it off, get the big win there. And then the main event, just a fantastic, this will be one that we go and watch back. Like, sure. We talked about Arisa and Tommy, and we talked about Mayu and Momo, but I will skip both of those to go back and watch this one. Yeah. No doubt in my mind, this one's a special match.
It was Jason... for one reason and one reason only.
Yes.
The right person wins.
I was going to say, because Mayu dressed like Kagetsu, which was also
the
awesome.
There's
a fantastic picture of those two dressed and standing opposing next to each other.
This is Mayu Iwatani dressed as Kagetsu for her final match in
Stardom. Yes,
should specify. We haven't got that far because I'm being distracted by Jungle Kiona winning a match.
Jakey Green, Jungle Kiona, Momo Watanabe back together one more time to team up and defeat the team of Kagetsu and Mayu Iwatani. Very, very special match. I'm very excited we get to go back and watch this. What I've noticed is that the anniversary shows have some of my favorite Stardom matches ever. Yeah. They have this one, they have the Gauntlet match, both non-title, but both very important, and I think crucial to Stardom in many ways. And this was kind of right before the pandemic, kind of the last big time.
Well, this was the pandemic was technically on right now.
That's true.
Japan was basically getting shut down because of a lot of stuff was happening. What date was this on again? It was the 26th of the 1st. So a month later, the shows were being cancelled because the 23rd of February show was cancelled. So there's like two or three shows after this particular one. People are already starting to get worried. In Japan especially, they were affected a lot quicker than a lot of other countries because of their proximity to China. So Kagetsu was so lucky in hindsight that he got to retire the way he did. Another month and all these shows would have been getting stopped.
It was close. It was close. But as I was saying, let's continue here. 10th anniversary, of course, is very recent. This was now 2 years ago. It feels like it was yesterday, but let's talk about it. So this is pretty important for the reason of this is the last time the World of Stardom Championship was defended at Korakuen Hall, which is pretty crazy to think about. But Of course, the date was January 17th, 2021. It featured four title matches. So they still went all out for the anniversary shows as recently as 2 years ago. You had a Future Stardom title match, Saeeda versus Nagi Sayaka, which Saeeda actually won. So I think that's a little shocking maybe.
She didn't need the Donna Mask to win a match.
You had Azumi successfully defending against Kaori Oniyama. I remember this very well. She said, I don't want to go against the death. I don't want to go against the clown. I want Kaori Oniyama. Very good match there. You also had Tim Kana defeating Starlight Kid. You had a Wonder of Stardom title match, which many people do not like. Julia successfully defending against Natsuko Tora in a no rules match. That's the match where Julia blessed us with her tiles that she loves. That she still brings out to this day for certain matches, which is very funny. And then the main event, of course, as I said, the last World of Stardom title match, I believe on a house show, let alone a Korakuen. A house show, non-pay-per-view, non-able-to-see-live type show.
Yes.
The Wonder would go on to be defended again on a house show. I believe it was Tam Nakano and Starlight Kid where that happened. It was Utami Hayashida defeating Micah. In one of the really big challenges, I think, for both of them, because this was a time where Tommy, you know, she's coming off a defense against Momo Watanabe, and as we've talked about before, it was like, well, is it Tommy, or was it just because she faced Momo, right? That's something you talked about before. I think it was when we were doing the Climax shows, and it also came to her testing herself against a wrestler Micah, who a lot of people were still like, I don't know. And they went out there and had a really good match. They've went on to have much better, obviously, but
given the circumstances, like, yeah, I don't think people appreciated what was shown here, because it isn't until the Saikamitani match a month or two later that we really start to see Tami's stock rising as far as she is as a champion. But yeah, like, Mike is still very young in this time. Like, she's only debuted with Stardom a year before. She'd been wrestling for 6 months before that. This is a difficult place for her to be put in and to deliver. And I thought they did a good job of this. Yeah, as you said, better matches would come, but you start to see what Utami would become as a champion.
We sure would. And of course, as we know now, it was a very, very good champion.
Yes.
We kick it over now. They had multiple anniversary shows, as I said. So this counted as a 10th anniversary show because it is in the name. It was the All-Star Dream Cinderella show. One of their biggest shows of all time. One of their best shows of all time. Mm-hmm. Of course, this show, for those who may not know, I don't know if we'll count this in the watching or not, because there is another show also that has that 10th anniversary mark that's not really an anniversary show that comes months after, but we will include them in this conversation because they did go big for the 10th anniversary.
It's important to acknowledge, and I think because it was the 10th anniversary, I wouldn't count this show as an anniversary show like what we're discussing, but you can understand why for the 10th anniversary you would do something like this. If you're going to celebrate, you celebrate on the even numbers like the 10s or the 5s. Not that five's an even number, but there's a specific term I'm thinking of, but it's not coming to my mind.
So this was a show that featured Natsupoi defeating Azumi to win the high-speed championship in a very, very good opener. That was on the – wasn't there a pre-show for this? I think that was on the pre-show.
Yeah, that was the pre-show.
Yeah.
Because you're able to watch it for free.
Right. You had DDM, Himeka, and Micah successfully defending their titles against Natsuko Tora and Saki Kashima. You had the All-Star Rumble that had Unagi Sayaka getting her first major win. Some of the names that were in there were Chigusa Nagayo, Emi Sakura, Hiromi Mimura, Hiroya Matsumoto, Kyoko Inoue, Meiho Shizuki, for those Marvelous fans out there, Mima Shimoda. Let's see. You had Momonaka Nishi, Rin Katakura, who, of course, just announced that she will be traveling. She will be leaving. Yoko Bito, Yuta Manase, Yuri Haruka, and, of course, our good friend, Yuzuki Akawa, who this was, as of right now, was her last match. And she walked in there and looked like she never missed a day.
Our good friend, your good friend. You've talked to her. I haven't.
But still, like, she went into that match. It looked like she never missed a second. It was like, what is happening? Like, you've been off for years. But of course, that was a big one. You had Nanai Takahashi defeating Momo Watanabe in a very physical match.
Yes.
Shuri defeating Konami with the SWA, a disputed world women's title on the line. That match, of course, I remember a lot of people being upset that it didn't get as much time as they hoped. It was only 8 minutes and 19 seconds. You have one of my favorite matches of that year, Mayu Iutani defeating Yoshiko in a very emotional, very special match. And then you had, I think, the match that made everyone realize that not only was Utami Hayashishita the real deal, but Saya Kamatani was the real deal. The World of Stardom Championship, yep. Utami defeating Saya Kamatani in a match that featured one of the best near falls that I've ever seen, which was, of course, that Rana that she got a near fall for. And the
they built that up perfectly because no one bought Saya Kamatani beating Utami in this situation. But just in those weeks leading up to it, she was hitting that Rana, getting the pin off of it, including Utami just before this show as well. And so, like, when that happened, it drew you in just enough. Like, it didn't make sense logically. Utami's winning this, but that move was working.
Exactly. You had the main event, Wonder of Stardom title. Tam Nakano defeating Julia in a hair versus hair match. As we know, this was a very, very big part in not only Stardom's history and Stardom's future, as Julia, of course, would use this to become what she is now in a lot of ways. She completely
G.I. Julia,
but she completely transformed herself as a pro wrestler, pretty much in every single way. She would go on to just be the complete package that we see now as the World of Stardom champion. And the final match was it's called the Stardom 10th Anniversary Grand Final Osaka Dream Cinderella. This isn't one that I just feel like we do need to name it because it does have that 10th anniversary in it. It was the grand celebration. This was the show that had Konami unfortunately having to miss it due to having to be she got sick, of course, and it has led to her, we don't know if it's for sure because she dealt with a lot over those couple years, but it definitely, I'm sure, played a part, which led to Shuri defending at Saki Kashima in what is one of the most popular matches of that year in Japan for Stardom. It was very popular with them and how they did that. It also features the return of Hazuki to in-ring action as she defeated Koguma. There was a DDM Mahime Poi match as they defeated Azumi Watanabe and Saya Kamatani. And then the final matches, Tam Nakano and Mayu Iutani finally faced off one-on-one after Tam Nakano turned her back, and they wrestled to a 30-minute draw. And, of course, the main event, Utami Hayashishita defeating Takumi Iroha in 30 minutes and 52 seconds. World of Stardom title match. The time limit thing was a playoff, the Utami Shuri match. Mm-hmm. So they gave them the
They justified it.
Yep.
They technically justified it.
They did. They needed that extra few seconds, but a very good show there. Not necessarily, again, what we would count as the anniversary shows, unlike this one, which was in Osaka, not Korakuen, this past year on the 23rd. And it was not much of a show to write home about. It was Nagi Sayaka defeating Momo Kogo, which was that Momo Kogo's first match?
Yes, it was.
It was. Tekla defeating...
Well, first match was Stardom, I should specify.
Yes, yes, yes. Tekla defeating Mina Shirakawa and Wakasuki Yama. Saya Kamatani and Utami Hayashida beating Fukigen Death and Saki Kashima. Again, like I said, big matches. Tam Nakano defeating Mai Sakurai. Hazuki, Koguma, and Mayu Iutani defeating the Uedo Tai trio of Momo Watanabe, Ruaka, and Starlight Kid. And then a tag team main event that went to a time limit draw as Julia and Mirai faced Micah and Shuri. Of course, that was building to Mirai's big match against Shuri at the pay-per-view. So, as you can see, a lot has changed with those anniversary shows.
That last year especially felt like a throwaway. The fact they weren't in Tokyo for it, I think, is probably the biggest, not indictment, but kind of realization that maybe these shows aren't going to be the be-all and end-all like they used to be. Mirai and Shuri would have been a World of Stardom Championship match on a Korakuen Hall on an anniversary-level show a year or two prior to this. And the fact that it is now relegated to a preview tag match, which is really the only match on the card that feels anything other than typical weekend Stardom.
And it is worth noting that this year's show will change everything, I guess, now, because it will not actually be happening in January. It will be that first show kicking off February, the 12th anniversary commemoration, Stardom Supreme Fight 2023. And I'm okay with it because of how they are booking it. It, of course, features Julia defending the World of Stardom Championship for the first time against Suzu Suzuki. It will potentially, now we don't know this is official, but it will potentially involve the Wonder of Stardom Championship on the line with Saya Kamatani going for the record against Momo Watanabe. And it for sure will have 7-Up defending against Mahime. So they have moved it
out of
shader. And
Mirai versus
do we know that's that show? Do we know that's that show?
I'm pretty sure it was announced that show.
All right. Well, the website doesn't have it, so I was not gonna like promise Chihiro Hashimoto to the people.
It felt, but you've got to give the people what they want.
Oh, I know.
The people
I know.
Want big hash.
That's true. But as you can see, they are moving it out with the Triangle Derby now. I think it's smart. Right, you don't want to just say random Triangle Derby to be your anniversary show. You want
it feels,
the anniversary show to get
It feels like the 21st is kind of an unofficial anniversary show as well, not because it's a big show, but because it feels different. You've got
that the Stardom Award show.
Yeah, they've got the Stardom Award show, and they're tying that together with the Future of Stardom Championship match and then Julia's Gauntlet series, which, you know, those matches on their own don't necessarily constitute big money matches. But they're not just typical, oh, we've got a show on this weekend, let's put some tag matches on. There's some thought behind it. They're wanting to do something a little bit special. And technically, it's closer to the anniversary date, which is the 23rd.
Mm-hmm. So we went a little short today, but of course, we'll be talking about the top matches of the anniversary shows next time. This is a big.
It was either go short on this one or go for like 2 hours.
Right, exactly. So we thought let's hit, you know, 45, 50 minutes, just kind of go through the trend, how the shows have transitioned through the years and how they've changed with multiple shows and big shows, small shows. Out of all that, there was only one real small show, which was the most recent. So. Yeah. And they seem to be going back, taking care. They know that anniversary show should be a big deal. Excuse me. And it should lead us to what should be a very, very special show to continue on and, you know, talk about with anniversaries as the years go on.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it is nice to have this kind of special show to celebrate. Anniversaries are important, I think, in wrestling. And
I think it's more important than year-end climax.
Yeah. Yeah. It's clear they're being a bit more flexible with these ones now. Year end is kind of locked in. It's a Korakuen Hall show, Christmas Day or nearabouts. These ones, they can stretch out their luck a bit. Doesn't have to be in Tokyo. Doesn't have to be Korakuen Hall. But I think the essence needs to be there because, yeah, it's a good excuse to have something a little bit special.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, with this show, you'd kind of do wonder, moving forward, will they try to push it a little bit to make sure the big pay-per-view is the anniversary show? Because they could have done that last year with the first show, which was also Supreme Fight. They didn't do that.
It was very close date-wise.
It was. It was like a week after. So they could have done that. I think they're probably learning that they should moving forward, which I think is a welcome sign. Because, like you said, anniversaries are important. They're more important than your other big shows. It'll be interesting to see where they continue to go. It is fitting that this one will be in Osaka. So that does go along with the tradition in some ways, not all, but some, you know, Korakuen Hall was the main spot, but Osaka got a lot of them too. So.
Yeah. And I mean, Korakuen Hall, like we know they've kind of outgrown Korakuen Hall in a lot of ways. If they want to make the show special, they kind of can't run Korakuen anymore because it's just not big enough to sustain what they're doing.
Yeah,
you know, if they're in Tokyo, they kind of got to run Oda Ward, really, if they're going to do an anniversary show there.
Yeah.
Or go crazy at Rear Goku, but they're not doing that yet.
Exactly. But we will we'll talk to you next time. Of course, Trent, do you have any plugs before we get out of here?
No, because I'm not really thinking about what I'm doing at the moment. There's stuff coming out, but I wouldn't be able to tell you when or where or how or whether it's going to be any good or not. So
that's the truth. You know, follow Trent at 1UP Culture. If you're not already, follow me
I'm
at
there.
Scott E Wrestling. You know, we never know what we're doing, but there's plenty. You know, Stardom's always going, so we're always talking about Stardom, the current day Stardom. But
always catching us off guard, that Stardom.
Yeah, but we're out of here. Make sure to come back for the next one, as we will be talking the anniversary show's best matches, or what we think are the best matches. Mm. Some of our favorites, and that should be a lot of fun. So until next time, everyone, have a good one.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hi, guys. This is Lauren.
This is Michael.
And this is Your Dose of Death Podcast. If you're genuinely curious about the world of deathmatch wrestling, look no further, as me and Mike have you covered on all things in the world of deathmatch wrestling, whether it's
interviews,
show reviews, or everything in between. We have you covered on all things deathmatch wrestling, whether it's past, present, or future. And you're probably wondering where you can go support us. You can find Your Dose of Death Podcast on all major podcast platforms, especially along with the Count Out Network of Podcasts. And also, you can support us on the Count Out Patreon, as we have exclusive content only on the Patreon for all of our listeners. We hope that you go listen to Your Dose of Death Podcast very soon.
And see you at the show.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.